fighting for America.
Mr. President, in 2010, you called the results of the midterm election shellacking. What do you call this?
Obviously, Republicans had a good night.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to get down this path.
Fighting for you.
Why isn't our government doing something about this? I'll be the first one to say it. President Obama does not care about postpartum Taylor Swift disorder.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Democrats lost the Senate.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, repeating our top story. Two pilots have been killed in a crash last night at Gowan Field. Investigation continues. We have heard from Governor Otter. If you haven't heard from the governor, we will share that with you coming up. We'll hear from Russell Hayes, an aviator, a pilot in helicopter aviation for over 45 years. We go to the phones, and we start with Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Well, doing the best we can, sir.
Not a good day. Unfortunately, it takes a tragedy like the one that took place last night where we lose two of our own for us to wake up and think about sacrifices that are made by the brave men and women in our military each and every day. You know, they're the ones who protect us when we're sleeping, the ones who go to the foreign countries and put themselves in harm's way. So, you know, we can't have our freedoms if we don't have them out there. And often they're forgotten when they come home. They get wounded. They can't find jobs. And it's ironic this tragedy happens just as we're about to celebrate Veterans Day and recognize all of those who have served the country. We should be thankful for those two young men who lost their lives and pray not only for them but for their families who have also sacrificed so much for our country. You know, we need to stop taking our freedoms and our men and women who serve our country for granted, because if we're not for them, we would not be able to feel safe and secure. You know, it's interesting. Everybody ignores the military until there's a problem or there's a tragedy. We should be thinking about them every day. They should be part of our prayers every day of our lives. You know, just knowing that they're out there watching over us should be a great comfort to everybody. So I pray for both the two men and for their families.
Thank you, Tea Party Bob.
You have a good day.
You too. We go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, Bob wrapped it up pretty good. There's not much I can really say except to say thank you for what you do to keep this in the forefront of today's news, because it is important that everyone remember the sacrifices that take place, not with these two gentlemen and their family, but with many, many others who have sacrificed everything to protect this great nation, and they're doing it for the right reasons, not for selfish reasons, but they love the country and they love the people within it. So I would pray that our president, that the Congress would wake up to the fact that it's those men and women who need to be cared for after they're even injured, to take care of our veterans, to take care of the ones who made the great sacrifices and their families. So God bless, Kevin. Have a great day.
All right, Patriot Ray, we appreciate that. Thank you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just waking up, learning about the news of the day, two pilots killed last night in a helicopter crash. Much more on that coming up. We go now to a gentleman that, if he wasn't the first, he was one of the first people that called into this program when we began over 5.5 years ago, Russell from CUNA, who, as we know, dwarfchildren.org. He's been with us for many years. He's a helicopter pilot now, been flying for over 45 years. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, Kevin.
And, of course, the oldest active-duty veteran to be brought back for the Iraq War.
I was. I was the oldest involuntary recall of a pilot since World War II.
When you are hearing about this story, and you still fly today, correct?
Yes, I'm flying on a contract down at Fort Bliss, Texas, for the soldiers down there for medevacs.
So, when you hear about this, what goes on in your mind, and are you concerned about your safety flying a helicopter?
I'm not concerned about my safety flying a helicopter. I feel that very safe in the helicopter. Helicopters, especially the ones nowadays, mechanically are very, very safe. They're when an accident happens, it's a series of events. It's not just something that happens all of a sudden.
And we talked about these things happen, that there's a usually a circumstance that happens, correct?
Yes. I like to think of it as when you play dominoes and you line them up, and the first one knocks the second one down, and it keeps on going. And the way you stop an accident is you stop it where it is, so it doesn't continue down that path towards the accident.
How does the Apache longbow compare to others? You remember, and, you know, again, I show my naiveness by saying this, but remember when we went from the Huey to the Black Hawk? They used to call them crash hawks. Now they're, again, one of the most safest aircraft around. How does the Apache compare to others?
I would say that the Apache is probably the best weapons platform that we have out there. Once again, I've got to claim my ignorance to what the A-10 does, but as far as the Apache goes, we have a standoff, or they, because I've never flown an Apache, have a standoff ability in which they can attack the enemy from a distance where it's difficult for the enemy to see or hear or hurt them.
What does it mean for the troops to have that air support, which has been used extensively in Iraq and Afghanistan?
It's something that protects our ground troops on the ground tremendously. The enemy may be emboldened if they see a small group out there on maneuvers, but the ability to call in for air power is comforting and also helps to save lives. Our troops.
You know, and maybe getting a little technical, but there are ways that you can, you know, sometimes things happen where pilots can adjust and course correct, even on an Apache longbow, correct?
That is correct. And that's part of what I was talking about, is if you start to see things go wrong that aren't quite right, listen to that little voice and stop what you're doing and evaluate.
So how would you describe a pilot of a helicopter compared to a pilot of a plane?
Once again, I say that mindset and the skills of a fixed-wing pilot versus a rotor-wing pilot is apples and oranges because of the different trainings that you have to go through and the different systems. I feel that a fixed-wing pilot is very good at his job. People who fly on airlines are very safe. They're professional pilots flying from point A to point B. I do feel that they're very systems orientated as far as using their autopilot to get them to a high, safe altitude and get people there safely. Whereas in the helicopter world, we're down low. We're down flying amongst the obstacles and things that can hurt you. So we have to have a different set of skills as far as the controlling the aircraft. We're more flying by the seat of our pants to feel what the helicopter is doing and to know what's going on with the helicopter. We like to think sometimes that the helicopter talks to us and we feel what's going on. So we're constantly on the controls of the helicopter.
Now here's something, though, that one might want to ask. When you take a look at the uniqueness of the Apache, you actually have two pilots, correct?
Correct.
And why so?
The front seater, his main mission during that time period, they're both pilots, is the gunnery. This is the weapon systems, while the pilot in the back is the one that gets you to the area of operations where you're going to set up your attacks from.
Now, the Apache is different here, the longbow, that you not only have, you know, your big rotor, your small rotor, but you have like jet engines on it? How does that work?
The turbofan turbine engines, what they do is instead of making thrust that go to propel you forward, it has a shaft going through there up towards the transmission, which then turns the rotor blades. And then from that main transmission, you have an auxiliary unit with a tail rotor drive shaft that drives your tail rotor.
Now, flying a helicopter is nothing like driving a car, is it?
No, not at all.
Is there any experience that would help us here at 580 KIDO to understand what flying in a helicopter is like?
Actually, I've done a little bit of teaching, and you can teach a person to fly a helicopter pretty quickly if they are through the intimidation of it. Sometimes it feels intimidating when you're going up into an aircraft, but if you get beyond that, the control system is very logical and makes a lot of sense and becomes very, very natural when you're flying.
Yeah, but there's no autopilot, right?
Some of the modern aircraft do have autopilots, but that's for when they're flying instrument work up in the clouds. But the regular mission down low, no, it's just you.
See, for me, because you've got the pedals that you have to use, then you've got one hand doing thing, and then you've got the other hand doing thing. Very different from just the stick that you have in others.
Right. And as a matter of fact, when we learned to fly through the military, we learned what they called a TH-55. We also had a throttle on there, which is like a motorcycle throttle.
What type of training does one undergo to be an Army pilot?
Back in the day, what we did was is we went through what they called a Warrant Officer Candidate Development Course, where you go through leadership programs and also a little bit of harassment to weed out the people who do not have the complete commitment to get through the program. Once you get through that portion of it, then you start your flight program, and you have primary, then you have tactical, advanced, and instrument sections that you have to pass each section before you get to wings.
Russell, anything else that you want to share with us this morning? We appreciate you joining us. I know you need to get some sleep, but of the sacrifice and the bravery of these two men.
Once again, it's teamwork. All of the people in aviation, whether they're in the support portions of it, everybody goes through. And the political thing I'd like to say is that when they cut back on the government side of our training, that is only hurts the mission, because we need to train in order to be prepared for our missions. And so budget cuts to the military are not good.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for yours.
All right. Our friend Russell from CUNA joining us here. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you missed the governor speaking on this, we will have that for you coming up. We'll also hear from Channel 7's Bonnie Shelton, and we will hear from you. Folks, there's nothing more important than what we're talking about today. Two heroes are gone. Training. Training. Is it time to talk political? Probably not. But I don't censor you. At 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to traffic here.
DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
It's a very difficult evening for us. An Idaho Army National Guard Apache helicopter with two crew members aboard crashed while on a training mission.
I'm just trying to keep you out of the way of it. There's a helicopter searching for another helicopter to the south.
The two people who died in the crash are men, but they're not releasing their names at this time. They're waiting to talk with family members.
Kevin Miller in the morning taking your phone calls concerning the tragedy at Gowan Field. We go to Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, like a lot of us, we've had better days and, you know, struggling to put this all into words.
Well, and I understand. I'm sitting here sorting through it. You know, I keep being reminded of that bumper sticker and that cliche that we see often that says, freedom is not free. And I know for many of us that this really brings it home. You know, oftentimes we consider that sacrifice is only paid, you know, in a distant battlefield somewhere. But this is evidence that, you know, our men and women, you know, in the military, you know, put their life on the line every day. And it was just a reminder, and I just, you know, hope that, you know, all those others out there that, you know, view this, remember this, that every day they get up and they say, okay, I'm ready to serve my country.
Well, and you know, here's the skinny on that. I think, selfishly, many of us take that for granted.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You know, and it takes such a tragic event, you know, so close to home to remind us, you know, that life is very real. Life is not about many of these other things that, you know, are all temporary, because what these people do is permanent. You know, they preserve generation after generation of our freedom.
And you take a look at the skill set to do these things, you know, and if people haven't listened to it, we'll share that Toby Keith song again in a minute. But here you have these folks that, you know, get up in the middle of the night, they're away from their families. It always hits me in the holidays because, you know, the military, they don't have time off. They, you know, they're at the DMZ with the North Koreans. They're doing all these things. They're in the subs while all of us are singing Holly Jolly Christmas.
Whole new meaning for the word frontline, isn't it?
It is. And take a look at the evilness of ISIS. Well, Terry, I mean, you and I, I'll speak for me, with my protruding waistline, we don't offer much of a deterrent. But it's those Apache helicopters, it's those Hellfire missiles, it's the A-10s, it's the people that are daddies and mamas and say, you know something, I got to go. And I don't want to go, I don't want to do this, but it is my calling, it is my service, it is my sacrifice. You know,
well, you
bro, how do you handle that?
Well, you know, I had a nephew who, he was in a helicopter crash. It was just a few feet off the ground. And everybody got a little scratched up, and, you know, that was quite a shocker for us, and that was many years ago. And this year really, whew, just erupted a whole area of feelings that, you know, I just, I've never experienced the full feeling back then, but now it's like, wow. You know, I can't imagine the families right now because it's such an unexpected event, you know. It's not like someone had cancer.
And people don't get that. People die in training.
Absolutely.
It used to scare heck out of me to train, man. I mean, that's how it is.
When I was younger, I always wanted to fly an F-16. I just couldn't imagine going across the sky at like Mach 5, you know, just yelling, yee-haw. But, you know, when you hear this, you just realize, you know, the intensity. You know, and as you say, the training is just beyond what I can fathom. You know, I get on a motorcycle, you know, four-wheel or something, that's one thing, but to be in a piece of equipment like that, and to be able to say, you know, I'm going to go do this, you know, and to devote yourself to it and to, you know, put yourself right on the edge like that. Whew, wow.
Thank you, brother.
Great talk to you. Thanks for bringing it up front.
You take care.
Have a good day.
Our great friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. We go to Bob. Kevin, my life was saved in Vietnam by brave chopper pilots who had to make several attempts to get me. In combat, it is almost like they're playing Russian roulette. They never know when something bad is going to happen. Bob, thank you for sharing in your service to our great nation. You know, what is the best helicopter movie? When We Were Soldiers, When We Were Young? And talking about that unit that was surrounded, I think it was the 7th Cav, the same unit as Custer. For these folks, it's not a movie. It's who they are. Liberal Steve joins us now at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Good morning.
It's a tragedy and a sad day, but one thing about pilots, all the pilots I've met in my life, they got an attitude that just great. I mean, it's just great. It's just like they're fearless. You know what I mean?
You have to be.
Like, they jump in and they get it done. And I just wanted to say that it was a single chopper pilot that saved my brother John in the jungles of Vietnam when out of 13 Marines, only three were still alive. And my brother happened to be one. And they come into the midst of it, you know, and set that thing down. And medic jumped out and attended to the three Marines that were still alive. And my brother was... They drug him over to a tree and propped him against a tree and cut his trachea wide open, the medic, and pulled his windpipe out, stuck a pin in it and had him hold it, took a pin apart, stuck it into the windpipe and had him hold it, told him he's going to be okay. His throat was full of shrapnel, his legs were shredded, and you can't say enough for these guys. I mean, they get it done.
They go in when the bad things are happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said it was just how they got in there and got out of there and got all those guys out of there. He said it was all a haze and a fog, but he said that pilot just he sat there until everybody with the dead and the wounded were loaded, and he said they're unbelievable. They're fearless. Anyway, it's a sad day, and our hearts go out to the families. You stay fired up, Kevin.
Thank you, Liberal Steve. We appreciate it. Now, something that folks usually don't do on talk radio is play a song.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American.
It is 8:33. Coming up, more of your thoughts and your well wishes to the family of the fallen. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by Governor Otter. Governor Otter, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin.
I wish it were under better circumstances. I know you've been dealing with this all night and will be for quite some time. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I guess you know the story, Kevin. It was they were on night maneuvers. They were practicing on night maneuvers, and the last time I talked to General Saylor and General Goodall, they were going to go out and secure the area so that we could have an investigation to find out exactly what happened.
Governor, as someone who has served and has such a close attachment to the troops, are there words that can define what goes into training and just the dangerous missions that they make seem so ordinary?
No. Well, you know, it's just difficult to, Kevin. This is why we train, and this is why we not only were those pilots training, but I would tell you the training that the mechanics, the people that maintain and take care of those helicopters go through training and update training all the time. And so it's always a mystery to us, whether it's an aircraft or whether it's some other piece of military asset, that something happens and we lose the warrior. And it's a mystery to us, but it's also an area where we study, investigate, so that it doesn't happen again.
Indeed, and of course, Governor, you'll be working with the military, the NTSB, General Saylor, to try and determine that it doesn't happen again. And as someone who, again, has that close connection, we've seen you many years with the troops. It brings you back to probably your days as a troop. I think we're never one of them. What goes on in your mind about why people today in the world of Twitter and Facebook continue to serve our great state?
Well, because they care. And that's the only thing. And they have an investment. They have an investment in our freedom. They invest their time. They invest their family's time. And they invest these folks a big part of their life. While other people may have been like I was when I, right after, just before I got the call, I was watching Cincinnati and Cleveland playing the football game while these guys were out practicing, in case they were deployed to a war zone or some other crises that we may have in the world. And, the thing that's so ironic is that, as you know, Kevin, we were going to be downsized in our Apache assets that we've got there at Gowan Field, and because the military in the whole overall downsizing of everything, one of the things that we're going to lose is part of or all of our Apache force, but that didn't bother these folks. They continued to train. They continued to operate just to perfect our ability to protect freedom.
And, Governor, they've done it in the past, whether it was the 116th or the 168th that a couple of years went to Afghanistan. The nation recognizes the significance and the contribution of the Idaho Air and Army National Guard.
Yeah, well, Kevin, you know better than anybody else that Idaho has made one of the greatest, because of our troops and because they care, between all of the military assets we got in the state, we have probably deployed per capita as many or more troops than anybody in the United States.
Governor, how do you personally work through this? Obviously, General Saylor is there. What's it like for you to have to deal with this today and to find out what happened?
Well, Kevin, interestingly enough, the toughest part is always to put the folks together that has to go tell the families. And when Saylor called me, that's what he and Goodall were getting ready to do, was to make some assignments for personnel to go to the homes of those two warriors and to tell the families that they had been lost. And of all the other stuff, that is the toughest. And I have never, the time that I spent in the military, I was never selected to go do that. And I can tell you that was probably one of the toughest things that folks have to do.
Governor, is there a message here that you'd like to send to the families and to people listening right now?
Well, there is, and it's time for, once again, the Idaho family to stand up and wrap their arms around these families, because these families were making a contribution for every Idaho family, for every citizen of the United States, in perfecting our ability to defend freedom. And I know, as you do too, Kevin, that when a tragedy like this happens, the Idaho family is first and foremost. They always have a front row seat in their ability to help these families try to get through this moment of crisis in their life.
Governor, anything else you'd like to share with us today? I know you're very busy.
Now, Kevin, when we get more updates, if my office can give you additional information, that'd be great. And would be more than happy to do that.
Governor, we appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
But thank you, Kevin.
Governor Otter with us here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to traffic.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm
8:53, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Wish we were here together under better news. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. As we continue on talking about the Apache crash that happened last night, we've heard from the governor. We've been covering it from a news perspective. We've been taking your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO on this topic. And, you know, do we really ever appreciate the service, the sacrifice of our service members? Here you have a Apache Longbow crew, that's two people, doing their training, as we heard from the governor, as we heard from others. And all of a sudden, we don't know what happened, and they're gone. And you think to yourself, well, that's what people in the military get paid to do. But, you know, everybody wants to be home for Thanksgiving. Everybody wants to give that special present for Christmas. Unique thing about our military, especially the folks in the Guard, and this is something that I had to learn, and isn't life amazing that how the lessons that we learn together? This is something that was brought home to me in being embedded with Guard units. Guard units are really the, you know, along with the reserves, are the folks that go back to the pre-republic. Yes, in the age of Twitter and Facebook, we will go back to pre-republic times, when you had a farmer or a shopkeeper or somebody else put down their till, put down their shop, put down their goods that they were selling, and went to a strange, crazy place. Beat the unbeatable, did the unthinkable, sacrificed that the history books cannot give them justice, and we live today from their work. We read about these pilots that go into places where the bad people are. They don't run from the sound of the guns, they go into it. You know, we talk about the troops. You know, the only thing I ask you is pray for the families. Pray for the families that'll be missing their loved ones on Thanksgiving, Christmas. And these two men that will forever be enshrined in the memories of their families and their military families and the extended family of the American patriots. It's amazing. It's what people write songs about, but it's not fiction. It is life as it happens. Linda from Emmett joins us now at 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. This is such a tragedy. I don't understand how God works sometimes. But I don't know if you remember, it's been several years ago when they lost one of the flying wing, the one that does all the parades, and they were doing an air show, and one of the planes crashed, the jet, and, you know, it's things like that that make my heart so sad. That it's ridiculous, you know. They have to break that news to somebody's parents. I wouldn't want that job for all the tea in China. Probably it's going to happen periodically. I understand that, but with the fine tooth comb that they used to turn up these, make sure that everything is okay. I hope to God no one turns around and points a finger at them, because accidents are accidents, and they do happen, unfortunately. And our armed services are not out of line to be hit like that.
What do you want to say to folks listening right now in the military, Linda?
God bless you. You're doing us a great, great favor. You keep us safe. You are all princes and princesses because they take such good care of us. I still wish they'd put boots on the ground, but I don't know if this one's going to fly. But well, I would feel much better if they did.
Linda, thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Quickly to traffic. To all who have been impacted, to all that benefit from freedom, God bless. And we thank you for everything.
Serving